The Center on Wisconsin Strategy just released its annual State of Working Wisconsin report yesterday on Labor Day. The report says things are getting better in some ways for workers in Wisconsin with a lot of room for improvement.
Laura Dresser is here to talk about that report. She's the Associate Director of the Center on, Wisconsin Strategy. Excuse me, Laura. Welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, you take a snapshot of how Wisconsin is doing employment-wise each Labor Day. So how are things looking for Wisconsin workers this year?
Well, you know, there's always a short-term obsession, and there should be, with where jobs are right now. You know, compared to 2 years ago, we have more jobs now. That's good news. Unemployment rate's down a little bit. I think we've seen some steady, if slow, progress on the jobs front. So it's not as bad as it was 2 years ago, but it's, you know, there's still, like you said, a lot of room for improvement.
Well, the national economy finally got back to pre-recession job benchmarks. And how about Wisconsin?
Yeah, Wisconsin is running behind the national economy. So basically, over the recovery, the national economy produced 6% jobs. Wisconsin growth was about 4%. Every time a state the size of Wisconsin could expect three jobs in that case, we got two. That puts us about 58,000 jobs behind where we would be had we just grown at the national rate. Even growing at the national rate isn't really enough, given the way the population has grown. So just getting back to 2007, given that we have a bigger population today, is not great news on its own.
So those benchmark numbers are even higher when you factor in population growth.
Right. If you think about population growth, if you look at just how we've lagged the national, we're 58,000 jobs behind. If you look at what we need to keep up with population growth, we need twice that, about 130,000 jobs. If we were really going to feel like 2007, the level of employment, the number of hours, the number of jobs, that kind of demand, that kind of position for workers, we won't see that for a few years.
Do you have a sense why Wisconsin is lagging behind the national average?
Well, that's the, we call that the 58,000 job question. You know, there's a few answers that are go-to answers on the state of Wisconsin. One, when the Wisconsin economy deviates from the national, you look for manufacturing to explain it. And here, actually, manufacturing works the opposite direction. If manufacturing, our state's manufacturing sector has outperformed the national rate. So if we had taken out that good performance, we'd be doing even worse. It's not manufacturing that explains the difference. What it is a general softness in different three different key sectors: leisure and hospitality, business and professional services, and transportation, trade, and utilities. Now, that's a mixed bag. I think that's just generally overall slow. The other one that doesn't explain it that people want to look to is public sector employment. We've lost public sector jobs, but the national actual picture would have lost more. A state, the Wisconsin side, would have lost more than we had. And I think that's because Act 10 took, kind of an across-the-board approach instead of a shrinking the number of jobs approach.
And in a related aspect here, you looked at how Act 10 affected unionization, and that's not, I guess, really a surprise. Unionization down.
Yeah, right. Right. Many things I look at are sort of obvious, but this is one that's worth documenting, at least. Act 10 made it harder to be in a public sector union and, in fact, had very evident effect just from 2011 to 2012. But the place where you can see it most clearly, you look at the state level, you run about 50% down to 35%. Represented by a union in a public sector job. But if you look in Dane County over that 1 year, 2011 to 2012, the public sector unionization rate goes in half from over 50% to 25%. And that's interesting here in Dane County, where we know the county workers, the city workers, many of the teachers all are running on extended contracts. That's just the impact on state workers.
So that bigger chunk of unionization loss is because of the state jobs here in Dane County,
yeah,
is what you're saying.
Right, right. And so concentrated here, and more loss to come. But cutting in half in a single year is pretty significant.
So in terms of forecasting, if we look at, I guess, that aspect, you said more jobs or more union spots lost. Why are you predicting that?
Because we know that contracts will go. There's a few factors that kind of make sure that Act 10 will continue to have impact, not just a first year. In fact, one is that some unions got extended contracts, by bargaining right before the act went into effect, they got extensions on their contract. When those go away, then they will enter the Act 10 world, and probably at least a few of them won't pursue becoming recertified, and some of them won't win their recertification votes. But then there's a pretty high standard on the annual need to recertify that I think will wear even very committed union people down over a set of years.
So that's something you're going to be tracking as we move forward.
We'll watch that number probably continue to fall.
Another point in your report is the issue of median hourly wage growth or stagnation, whichever it is. But why don't you tell us what you found there?
Well, here, this is when we step back and really look at the last 35 years. What's happened to the worker in the exact middle of the labor market? If we correct for inflation, hold it all in 2013 dollars, and look back to 1979, what was the median worker making? $16.50 an hour. Think of that as $33,000 annual with a full-time job. You look forward to 2013, and that worker right in the middle of the labor force is earning $17 an hour, $34,000 a year. That's 34 years of economic growth, higher productivity, and the median worker has gotten a raise of between 1 and 2 cents a year each year. That's going nowhere, really. That's a kind of stagnation at the middle of the labor market that I think is a challenge to everybody who's looking at the labor market. I think we focus a lot on those short-term jobs numbers and all that, but the long-term trend has been this stagnation at the middle, and that's where Wisconsin and the nation's economic challenges are.
So it's 50 cents since 1979. Now, if you want to look at a space for motion, do you see any opportunity for movement there?
Yeah, definitely. For a long time in the post-war period, basically from 45 to 79, when the economy grew, the median wage, the worker's wage at the median grew as well. And what we've had now over the last 35 years is consistent economic growth without any consistent payoff at the median. And that has to do with a lot of different things going on in the economy. But yes, we can do better than that. We've done better in the past, and we can do better going forward.
And how about what might be caused by the fact that there seem to be fewer full-time jobs and more people cobbling together different part-time jobs?
Well, this is a real challenge in the labor market. And our data, even the federal sources of data are not great on this, but we know that when the unemployment rate is high, that workers, especially in retail and leisure and hospitality, home health care, work on a much more on-call basis. And this means that a low wage is compounded by volatile and unpredictable hours. So workers, you know, they go into work, they show up, but then, they do a floor count of the number of customers that are there. And some employers will just send you home if there aren't enough people. So if there's a traffic accident or a rainstorm, you go home. And it's, the strategy when you have low hours is to get another job. But when you have all these on-call hours, it's almost impossible to get another job because you can't manage, the kind of conflicting volatile hours.
And to move on to another point in the report, you took a look at the racial inequality in the job market. Now, this remains a pretty worrisome point. What are you seeing here?
Yeah, the state of Wisconsin, I think folks here tend to think, racial inequality, that happens everywhere. Wisconsin consistently is at the top of the charts. And here we looked at the unemployment rate. The unemployment rate in 2013 for blacks in the state was 15%, 15% being a sort of Great Depression level of unemployment, by the way. That's 2.8 times the white rate. That ratio, that disparity between white and African-American rates, there's only three states and Washington, D.C. that have higher disparity than we do. So this is true across the board on stats from Wisconsin, whether it's educational indicators, incarceration, economic outcomes, et cetera, you see very high levels of disparity.
And how do things look for Hispanic workers?
Hispanic workers are actually unemployed about the same as African-Americans. That disparity runs closer to national norms. It's a pretty appalling level of disparity, but we're kind of more like everybody else on that.
So when you put this into context, how do those numbers affect the overall jobs picture that you're seeing?
Well, I think the problem, you know, the problem that you see is a kind of weak economy. It's moving in the right direction. And that's absolutely critical. We have 100,000 more jobs today than we did 2 years ago. That's good news. Workers feel that difference, whether they're looking for work and it's easier to get work, or whether they're asking for, you know, an afternoon off to go help their kid with something. You know, it's different when there's more jobs and when the economy's moving in that direction. Still, it is so weak by even the comparison to 2007. And the median wage trend is so muted by comparison to that post-war period. I think those are the real challenges that this report calls out for us.
We're talking right now to Laura Dresser from the Center on Wisconsin Strategy about their recent State of Working Wisconsin report.
And we want to get your input and maybe your story. What does the economy look like in your community, in your household, on your paycheck? If you're in the job market, have things started looking up over the last few years? Are you cobbling together a couple of part-time jobs? Are you in one of those new on-call service professions that Laura Dresser was just talking about? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can email us, talk@wpr.org. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We're continuing our conversation now with Laura Dresser from the Center on Wisconsin Strategy about this year's State of Working Wisconsin report.
And we're taking your calls now. When it comes to jobs and the economy, what's the story where you are in your community, your county? Are things looking up lately? And how about for you, if you've been in the job market over the last few years? Are things getting easier? More jobs out there for you? Or cobbling together part-time jobs to keep things together? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email talk@wpr.org.
And we're going to start off with our callers. Now, Mike joins us from Madison. Hi, Mike.
Good afternoon. I was hoping your guests could maybe give a little historical perspective on what advantages Wisconsin had 100 years ago to attract businesses, whether it be railroads, fresh water, resources, and what advantages Wisconsin has currently to keep businesses here, and why they might not want to just relocate to Tennessee. You know, we can educate our students here, but they'll just take a higher paying job down in Tennessee or Arkansas. Fresh water is available there. And so what's our advantage up here? That's, you know, really what I'm looking for, is to see why somebody like, you know, Harley Davidson and Mercury Marine and Ashley Furniture would not relocate 5 or 10 years from now further south, where the labor rates are much cheaper.
All right. Thanks a lot, Mike. Laura?
Well, the real question, of course, it's a mixed question on the cost of labor and the productivity you get out of labor, and also the infrastructure you have for development. The things that really build our economic development or economic advantages in the long run are a strong workforce, decent skills, decent schools, a good work ethic, and a strong infrastructure, whether that's rails or broadband or utilities. Those things really matter. And those are things that Wisconsin has always excelled in, especially the strength of the training systems for working people in manufacturing and other industries. The technical colleges are pretty strong here. We have many more workers who have gotten their associate's degrees in technical degrees and who do better than their national counterparts in the labor market. That's a consistent strength. I'm not quite sure I can get back to 100 years ago, but certainly historically. And looking forward, that investments in the technical colleges, the school system, and the, you know, making utilities and infrastructure for development, whether that's railroads or highways or broadband, you know, all those things matter moving forward in this economy. And I think especially the ability to move goods and services and electrons around will become increasingly important. And that takes money. That takes a real state investment in the infrastructure in our human capital and our physical capital for development in the future.
Now, Laura, I want to ask you, you know, jobs, obviously the big issue in this year's governor's race. Now, given your report that we're talking about right now, is this, you know, good news, middling good news, bad news, or just kind of eh?
Well, I think, you know, I think it's right that jobs are the big issue in the governor's race because, well, partly they've been made the big issues through the promise. They're also the big issue in the economy. This is the first hurt in this long-term painful economy is the lack of jobs and the lack of demand and the way that that works against unemployed workers, et cetera. You know, but on the other side of the coin, I don't really believe that governors are the final control of the number of jobs in any economy. We're tied to a national economy. We're tied to a global economy. So to make that the bottom line of whether someone's working or not sometimes feels like a bit of an overreach. But yes, you know, clearly jobs are where people are hurting, and that's what people are looking for.
Okay, we're going to go back to our phone lines. We've got a lot of folks waiting to talk to you, and we're going to go to Laura in Waukesha next. Hi, Laura.
Hi there. I'm with a staffing firm in Waukesha, so I see a lot of the ups and downs within the job economy, if you will. And what I see is companies are looking for skilled employees, and they're willing to hold out and wait. They're not willing to train, and that's becoming a big problem because the skilled people, they're working, and they're not interested in moving around.
All right. Well, thank you, Laura, for that insight there. And what do you think?
I think, you know, that's an interesting point. I think that there has been you know, one thing is that when employers and people in staffing services firms are closer to this than I am, but when employers get used to long lines waiting, applying for every job, they begin to sort on things that they didn't have to in the past. And I do agree, you know, I think there's significant evidence that employers are now expecting a kind of level of exact experience that they are finding harder to get to. You know, there's a couple ways to get around that. One is to train, as she pointed out, and another is to raise the wage and to change the incentive. And so when there's a conversation about skill shortages, I think we've not paid enough attention to the evidence of whether we really see wage increases that really indicate an underlying skill shortage or whether it's a kind of hesitance of employers to invest. And I think we've seen evidence of both.
Do you think that we'll see a time when that flip-flops again, or are we just, is this a feature of the new economy?
You know, I think that's a very large question. How damped is demand going forward? Will technology to continue to replace people and so leave some greater and greater share of people out of this labor force? You know, I think we'll continue to see some growth. It probably is not going to be as strong as the late 90s for a while, at least. And that means that people, you know, it'll tip slowly and hopefully, I hope it continues to tip more in favor of workers and their ability to kind of make a better deal for themselves. But it's certainly the case that this has been a upper hand for employers for quite some time.
OK, well, thanks a lot for your call, Laura. And we're going to move next to Melissa in Racine. Hi, Melissa.
Hi, I was just wondering if your guest investigated the potential economic impact of the proposed casino in the Racine and Kenosha area.
No, I haven't. I haven't investigated that. A lot of people, of course, are weighing in on that. I think the net effect on jobs would probably be positive, but it would relocate some stuff around. I have no idea.
Okay, we'll come back to that. I think everyone wants to know that right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Check that out as time unfolds. Well, there is some good news, I think, sort of. I don't know, I was going to say unalloyed good news, but that's not quite right either. But there is a bright spot in terms of the gender gap in Wisconsin. What can you tell us about where we are?
Yeah, you know, this is the long-term good story in the American economy and in Wisconsin as well. In 1979, the median female worker earned 59 cents for every dollar a man made. That gap has shrunk to 82 cents now. So there's 82 cents on the dollar at the median, comparing the median male and female worker in Wisconsin. You know, the good news on that is that that has been because of increases in women's wages over the last 35 years. The median woman earns more than she did 35 years ago. But it's also that gap has shrunk also because the median man earns less than he did 35 years ago. And obviously, the median man still earns more than the median woman, but that gender gap has shrunk on both sides. And I think, you know, equity achieved at $5 an hour will not feel like progress in a way. I think that, you know, helping to see women's wages go up is a big part of that story.
And why are men's wages falling?
Men's wages are falling. Again, this is a huge question. But one way to look at this is men's wages are falling, especially for the 70% of the workforce who doesn't have a 2 or a 4-year college degree or more education. That's where wages are really coming down. And why are wages coming down there? Because we've lost so many manufacturing jobs, because manufacturing jobs pay less than they used to, because we've deunionized across the board, especially in male jobs. And this is true in construction. Looking at, for example, commercial construction is still largely union, but residential in the state no longer. So deunionization matters there. The falling value of the minimum wage matters. All that has happened that pulls down the wages at for workers with that less than college degrees. The trends have been better for both men and women with college degrees and more.
And Laura, you've got part two of this report coming out in the fall. Can you give us a sneak preview?
Yes. Poverty and income data gets released by the federal government. There's two batches that come out, one in August and one in September. And we decided this year to wait till the September batch comes out and then focus on income and poverty in a second part two, SOW, State of Working Wisconsin, which of course has the acronym SOW. So
it's convenient for you guys.
It's every bacon joke we can make. So we'll be releasing the income and poverty data later.
All right. So we'll expect that in September, October. And Laura, thank you so much for stopping by.
Thanks for having me.
That was Laura Dresser, Associate Director of the Center on Wisconsin Strategy. She was with us to talk about this year's State of Working Wisconsin report.